The Lifeboat Hour with Michael Rupert, Sundays at 9 p.m. on the Progressive Radio Network.
Nightclub at the end of the world. The insanity continues, and I am Michael C. Rupert, and welcome back to another episode of the Lifeboat Hour. It is Sunday, July 10th, 2011. I got to tell you guys up front, I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 questions, good ones, already in the inbox for the show, and I may or may not be able to get to those. We have a lot to do tonight, because I've always viewed my job as getting you the information you need as best I can, and there's just a lot to convey. We're going to cover a lot of things, some good, some scary, some a lot of things. But let's just stick briefly with the insanity that is just getting amazing out there. I mean, pass the popcorn. In addition to the biggest banks laying off tens of thousands, and we covered this last week, and everything I referred to here tonight has been covered on the World News Desk or will be tomorrow. But the biggest banks, Credit Suisse, Goldman Sachs, all of them are laying off tens of thousands of employees. That's the end game, folks. That's the sign of the shutdown. And, of course, we covered that manufacturing orders are plummeting around the world. And then GM this week started giving away free car insurance if you buy a new car in Washington and Oregon. That's legally it's paying people to wreck their new cars. Because if you wreck it, then you don't have to pay the payments. The insurance takes over it, and this is stupid. I mean, businesses are making amazingly dumb decisions that I never thought. Pigs do have wings, I guess. But now this week, too, from CNBC, we see Wall Street slashing pay, even for the best performers. Those million-dollar bonuses appear to be a thing of the past. Because what Wall Street's doing is saying now that instead of bringing in $100 million paper to the company to get your million, now you got to bring in $150. So it's, in effect, pay cut for the bastards on Wall Street who have been skimming the cream. That's another sign that the end game is up. But to really get into the stupidly insane, wild politics that are going on right now, today, a story broke on CNN. This is a Reuters story, broke yesterday. The U.S. has suddenly cut $800 million in military aid to Pakistan. Now, the little backstory here is that U.S.-Pakistani relations are already in the toilet. There's a lot of violence. Pakistan is having riots over blackouts because there's no energy in large portions of the country, and they can't stay cool, pump water, or even run a business there. The ground situation is deteriorating, and this is clearly a bitch slap to the Pakistani government. The New York Times has launched an attack on the Pakistani government and the ISI, which is clearly the mighty Wurlitzer of covert operations, following on the heels of the fact that the fastest switcho changeo in the administration, the cabinet that's ever taken place, has just gone before us. Robert Gates has retired as Secretary of Defense. Leon Panetta just flew over and occupied the desk at Defense. He left CIA, and David Petraeus now, who was commanding CENTCOM, is now the Director of Central Intelligence, which tells you a lot of things. We're preparing for a very nasty war that CIA will coordinate, and Petraeus is the perfect guy for that. But things are just going to absolutely go south in Pakistan at breakneck speed now, which destabilizes, of course, the whole region. And finishing just a couple of hours ago, Reuters released a story. The headline is, "The EU calls an emergency meeting on debt crisis for Monday." That's tomorrow. Now, so this announcement must have come out at about noon on Sunday. But the subject of this emergency meeting is Italy. Italy. Okay, so it's happening real fast. We're going to come back to Pakistan and some very, very, very troubling information about Iraq soon. I gave a speech yesterday in Willits. For those of you who've been around for a while, Willits was like the first local venue ever to get involved in this back in 2002, 2003. Jason Bradford started an outfit called Well Up there. Willits has been kind of a mecca, and I spoke up there. It was a packed meeting, about 120 people, and we did a town hall on lifeboat building. I'm going to talk about that, and a lot of good information changed hands. We're going to talk about Iraq. We're going to talk about ham radios, too. It's time to talk. We've learned quite a bit about that, and there's a lot happening with that. I want you guys to hear that. And when we get to it, there's some very, very positive movies coming out, really good movies, movies that you really want to see, because not only are they good movies, they're actually helpful. And we'll be having some guests coming up on the show soon. Included among those will be Peter Charles Downey, who directed an amazing film called Anima Mundi, which has screened in Melbourne, Australia. Sydney, I think, is this week. It'll be out in September. A movie called Whiteout from Scotland and a movie called 100 Mornings from Ireland. Great films. But we will be having some guests, and David Holmgren, the co-founder of Permaculture, has agreed to be a guest. We haven't set the date yet, but stay tuned for that. All right, let's get down to business here. I'm going to read you this whole story, and I'm going to read you this whole story, and I want you to listen with, like, let me do a Ross Perot. I want you to listen with your full mind. So, just think about this. Oak Park woman faces 93 days in jail for planting a vegetable garden. This is from My Fox Detroit. The price of organic food is kind of through the roof, says Julie Bass. So why not grow your own? However, Bass's garden is a little unique because it's in her front yard. We thought it'd be really cool to do it so neighbors could see. The kids love it. The kids from the neighborhood all come and help, she said. Bass's cool garden has landed her in hot water with the city of Oak Park. Code enforcement gave her a warning, then a ticket, and now she's been charged with a misdemeanor. Quote, I think it's sad that the city of Oak Park, that's already strapped for cash, is paying a lot of money to have a prosecutor bothering us, Bass told Fox 2's Alexis Wiley. Quote, that's not what we want to see in our front yard. In a front yard, said Oak Park city planner Kevin Rulkowski. Why? The city is pointing to a code that says a front yard has to have suitable live plant material. The big question is, what's suitable? We asked Bass whether she thinks she has a suitable live plant material in her front yard. Quote, it's definitely live. It's definitely plant. It's definitely material. We think it's suitable, she said. So we asked Rulkowski why it's not suitable. Now listen to this. Quote, if you look at the definition of what suitable is in Webster's dictionary, it will say common. So if you look around and you look in any other community, what's common to a front yard is a nice grass yard with beautiful trees and bushes and flowers, he said. But when you look at front yards that are unsightly and overgrown, is Bass's vegetable garden really worth the city's time and money? We asked Rulkowski what he would say to those who feel this is ridiculous. Quote, I would argue that you won't find that opinion from most people in Oak Park, he responded. Well, I have a bunch of little children, and we take walks to come by and see everything growing. I think it's a wonderful thing for our neighborhood, says neighbor Devorah Gold. They don't have anything else to do. If they're going to take her to court for a garden, said neighbor Ora Goodwin. We did find one neighbor who wasn't a fan, and she thinks it needs to go. Quote, I know there's a backyard. Do it in the backyard, he said. What is growing food dirty? Is growing food shameful? They say, why should you grow things in the front yard? Well, why shouldn't I? They're fine. They're pretty. They're well-maintained, says Bass. There's a great video attached to this story, which is breaking news on the homepage at CollapseNet. You might want to check the video out. Quote, I could sell out and save my own self and just not have them bother me anymore, but then there's no telling what they're going to harass the next person about, Bass told us. There's another pretrial scheduled for July 26th. July 26th. The next step could be a jury trial. All right, now let me say this as clearly as I possibly can. The right to grow food is a fundamental right It's a human right. It's a universally recognized right. Gandhi marched to the sea and made salt in violation of British law. We know the outcome of that. But what is clearly at stake here, and is not only the stupidity of the Oak Park people, but what is here now for us, a growing movement with power, with a voice that I'm telling you, the powers that be are aware of. This is a battle we have to win. This is a battle where we come up and we say, everybody in this country and around the world should be growing food any place they possibly can. And I'll tell you that if it was my front yard and somebody pulled that in on me, I would be locked and loaded, because I would be legally and morally, fundamentally at the place that you cannot threaten a human being's food supply. And the fact that somebody's ashamed that it was done in the front yard to me invites the strongest possible response from all of us to the city officials in Oak Park, Michigan. We need to make this a show trial, and if we really try hard enough, and if we focus enough attention on this, and if we put enough pressure on Oak Park, we can finally make mainstream see us. This cannot be taken lying down, and this cannot happen unopposed. This is a trial balloon, and they have thrown down a gauntlet. I have said very clearly, I have no intention of breaking laws. We don't in this movement. We have no intention of attacking anybody. But if we are attacked, we will defend ourselves, and you cannot mess with our food. That's enough. Okay, whew, I feel better with that. Yeah. So anyway, that's a breaking news story on the homepage at CollapseNet right now. A lot of breaking news that's been rolling through there. The CollapseNet team's doing really great. We're just like two or three members now short of 5,000 in 63 countries. I want to thank you all for your support. You know that we're doing a good job. I want to talk now about Willits a little bit before we play a song. I went up there yesterday to speak. I was invited up there. Willits is about an hour and a half drive north of me here in Sebastopol in Northern California. They're in Mendocino County. And very early on, some great lights of the peak oil movement were there. Jason Bradford, Matt Sevenar was there for a long time. A great many people went there, people who are now involved with Post Carbon Institute. Willits broke a tremendous amount of ground for all of us. They were the first. And around the whole world now, everybody on the planet who understands what lifeboat building is about in one way or another has benefited from the work that was done there. They've had some challenges, but the people up there are just amazing. So I went up there, and we're probably going to make a radio show out of this. It was about a two-hour presentation. We'll have to edit it. But what I said basically was, you didn't invite me here to speak about peak oil. You already get that. Everybody cracked up. I said, you didn't invite me here to tell you that everything's going to hell in a handbasket with a rocket pack on. Everybody cracked up at that. So I said, what I want to do here is roll up my sleeves with you guys, and I want you to be honest and open about the issues and the problems that you're having here in Willits. Because my thought was that in the whole world, for the lifeboat builders that are building and who are listening to this program on five continents, for everybody out there who is scrambling to get their stuff together, I thought that all of you would really like to see roll-up-your-sleeves lifeboat-building session in a place like Willits with a guy like me, and maybe we could help you some. And everybody in the Willits audience opened up. You know, we didn't show their faces. Some of the questions may not be able to be heard, but what you will see is what happened, and you'll hear what we talked about. They all said, yeah, we believe that us sharing with the world can help everybody now who's trying to get their act together. So I tip my hat to everybody in Willits. And some great themes are emerging, and I should add to that before we go to a song tonight, is the Grange. You know, you may or may not have heard of the Grange. It may sound something from like the Old West. The Grange is a cherished American institution. I'm a member of the Grange here in Sebastopol. I joined when I moved. But the Grange has an architecture, it has a structure, it has values that we all share, and it has political influence. And, you know, there are political issues there, but I see stuff happening with and through the Grange. And a wonderful idea was presented last night by some of the Grange members in Willits, and I met a member of the State Grange up there last night, which is that it's very easy now to get small micro licenses for radio stations that can easily be heard in car radios, in your home, in your living room, wherever. And I had been, that's one of the ideas I've been kicking around since I got up here in Sebastopol, is that there's a small micro station that could easily, time and circumstances permitting, be converted to a collapsed radio station that will take care of everybody who can receive it. And the micro ranges are small, but some of the Grange people are talking about setting that up through the Grange so that the local Grange could have a local radio station that, as the situation got squirrelier and all of our focuses became more and more localized and constricted, that these radio stations would be there to unite, to share information, and to protect a given location. That's developing. But if there's any Grange members out there listening tonight, you got to start bringing this up at your own local Grange. It's a wonderful idea, and it's a genius, and I'm very grateful to all the great people that I'm meeting at the Grange and what they stand for and what they do. So, coming up on time for a song. We've got a ton to talk about tonight, and I got all these questions, and I want to try to get to them. The song tonight that I picked is a new White Trash song. It's one of my favorites. It's one of the ones I co-wrote, and I sing on with Doug Lewis. And when we wrote this song, I envisioned this as times got really bad, which they are right now, what the networks would do was throw at you an ever more stupid cascade of stories intended to distract you, whether it's the Texas Ranger guy falling off the railing and killing himself, which I, every time I turn on the TV, that's on to a royal wedding and their tour of South Central or Skid Row in Los Angeles. What they want you to do is to look at those little bits of news that they try to tell you are reality and say, take these. That's the song. Here we go. Take these.
When you're feeling down, hello, we've got toys for your mind. Red, white, and blue, yellow, take two of these, and in no time at all, you'll be fine.
Take these,
no time at all, you'll be fine.
Take these,
no time at all, you'll be fine.
Wash them down with Kool-Aid, it doesn't matter.
Are you feeling okay? A little hazy when you look my way.
Take these,
kiss you and then take two of these, and in no time at all you'll be fine.
Take these,
no time at all you'll be fine.
Take these,
no time at all.
Swallow and they'll make you feel better.
I feel better. I needed that. That was Take These from New White Trash. You can find that and 36 other original songs at newwhitetrash.com. You can listen for free, download them, buy the CD, do it all. I was privileged to work with some great musicians. The bass track on that song was laid by Arthur Barrow, the great Arthur Barrow of Frank Zappa and the Mothers of Invention, who's been gigging a lot lately with Robbie Krieger of The Doors. Privileged to see Arthur live and grateful that he chose to add his talents to that track for us. Okay, got a few minutes before break. This is another one of those stories, guys, that another subject that it's about Iraq, and I got to read you a whole story, but let me just give you the background. A Reuters story yesterday says that Iraq's factious political blocs will take 2 more weeks to decide where the U.S. troops should extend their stay in Iraq beyond a year-end deadline. Iraqi President Jalal Talabani said on Saturday, "What's going on is a battle. There is an absolute ironclad ultimatum deadline that every U.S. troop must be out of Iraq by December 31st, 2011. That is etched in stone. It's been known for quite a while. And as I was writing probably back in 2004, 2005, the U.S. has no intention of ever leaving Iraq. We have built 3 of the largest military bases in the world and the largest embassy in the world, larger than Vatican City, with 8,000 embassy staffers. And after December 31st, another 8,000 paramilitaries are going in. That is not going to be, nobody, we're not leaving. And I've been clear on that for a long time. We have no intention of leaving. We may be forced to, and I hope that that's the case, without bloodshed. On the other hand, just recently, China opened its first oil facility there, owned by the Chinese National Petroleum Company, which is a state enterprise, meaning that China has a vested national interest in Iraq, and the minute there's any war or unrest, the Chinese military will go, and they'll go head-to-head with us. But they will be allied with Muqtada al-Sadr of the Mehdi Army, the 2-million-man Mehdi Army that fought us to a standstill in southeastern Iraq and around Fallujah for a couple of years. And Muqtada al-Sadr, there's another Mustafa guy from the Kurdistan that I dealt with. You get old. Anyway, al-Sadr is totally backed by Iran, and he is a very effective military leader. And so, before year's end, maybe when this vote takes place, because if the factions vote, if the governmental debate is rigged by CIA and the U.S. government so that Iraq asks U.S. troops to stay after December 31st, that may start the shooting in Iraq almost immediately because the violence is increasing. But now listen to this story. This is from Agence France-Presse on Wednesday. Sadr says Iraqis employed with U.S. are outcasts. That's Muqtada al-Sadr, AFP, Wednesday. Baghdad, anti-U.S. Shiite cleric Muqtada al-Sadr said Wednesday that his movement would not accept countrymen who had worked with the Americans unless they had genuinely repented. Asked about whether Iraqis who had worked with the Americans as drivers, cleaners, builders, or in other menial jobs could work with a government led by his movement, the cleric replied, quote, "Yes, they can, but not in administrative work," close quote, suggesting that they would not rise above low-ranking positions. Sadr, who was close to Iran, gained wide popularity among Shiites in Iran in the months after the U.S.-led invasion of 2003 and in 2004 as his Mehdi Army militia battled U.S. troops in 2 bloody conflicts. He was responding to a statement to a written question from his followers. Quote, "Boycott them and reject them," he said about Iraqis who were still working for American forces of the embassy or who had worked with them in the past but had shown no remorse. He said translators were also to remain outcasts. Quote, "It is forbidden to work with them also." Thousands of Iraqis working with the U.S. military or the embassy were killed or wounded by insurgents after the invasion, blah, blah, blah. So, okay, now, get this. Those of us who are old enough and or who have seen the study of the history know what happened to the people in France who collaborated with the Nazis during the Nazi occupation. And it's happened in countries all over the world where there was a sudden change. The collaborators were persecuted, hunted down, and killed. And given as how bloody Iraq has always been, we do not think for a minute, and don't fool yourselves, that what Muqtada al-Sadr isn't saying here, what he's saying here is, hey, I'm warning all you people who work with the Americans now, you're toast when we take over. And that's a warning to those who are still cooperating to start reevaluating their alliances. And quite frankly, I don't think the U.S. can come out of this ahead if it goes to a fight. It could be World War III. But you couple that with the rapidly disintegrating situation in Pakistan, the fact that the U.S. is not having a good time in Afghanistan. We're trying to squeak out of there so we can get some troops out to redeploy them to Iraq. That everything is going unstable at once. And that actually comes to one of the questions that came in tonight from Julie O'Loughlin, who wrote in, the Pakistan-USA thing makes me really nervous. Do you have any insight to where this could go? Well, yes, ma'am, this is where I'm seeing it could go. I mean, this looks like to be a regional jihad against the United States that could very well erupt all at once with full Chinese and Iranian backing. And, one cannot be optimistic about that. So, that's a really cheery note, huh? All right, well, we're going to come back and lighten things up. I do have some good news to talk about. We're going to take a station break here. We'll be right back in just a minute.
For the best progressive minds in the world.
I'm Dr. Len Saputo.
And I'm registered nurse Vicki Saputo. We're proud to announce that the Progressive Radio Network will be bringing you our live call-in talk show, Prescriptions for Health, every Monday afternoon starting June the 6th from 3 to 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Mark your calendars and save up your questions so you can ask us about possible strategies for your health problems, whether mainstream or complementary and alternative.
We also invite your questions and comments about any area of health care, including politics, economics, ethics, philosophy, and styles of healthcare.
So remember to tune in every Monday from 3 to 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time to the Progressive Radio Network's Prescriptions for Health show.
Progressive Radio fans, I'm Betsy Rosenberg, and I do a program here on the network called The Green Front, as in reporting from the green front lines. That's where I've been for more than a decade, covering a beat that I think is fun, fascinating, fact-filled, and sometimes even kind of funny. Or not, when you consider the implications of our world-class denial here in America. The Green Front is an ostrich-free zone, though, where I select the most interesting and passionate eco-innovators out there and bring them to you live each Wednesday at 2 p.m. Eastern. So join me as we wake up America with the activists, authors, experts, and ordinary citizens out there making an extraordinary green difference.
Hi, you're listening to Bhavani, and I'd like to welcome you every Wednesday on the Progressive Radio Network to join me for my show called I Eat Green, where every Wednesday we will talk about eating healthy and eating sustainably for our planet. So join me every Wednesday from 5 to 6.
The Progressive Radio Network is proud to bring you the most up-to-date, cutting-edge commentaries 24 hours a day and 7 days a week.
wall, and we've come up red. Getting dying, sold the lies that we said. Now we can't escape from. Another long wall, and we've come up red. Getting dying, sold the lies that we said. Now we can't escape from.
We can't escape from. And there's sometimes relief in saying that. Because you just kind of now sit back and kind of say, okay, let's go. Bill writes in, sends a link to an article to a website called Before It's News. I'm not familiar with it. But it says that states that World War III could start in July. What are your thoughts, Mike? My thoughts are, Bill, that it could start any damn minute now. It could start any minute. Now, I absolutely stand by the alert that I issued at CollapseNet for all of our members in April, saying that July was, would be, and is certainly proving to be a month of unheralded, unexpected, almost incomprehensible change, disintegration, and crap falling apart. There's we'll have stories on the World News Desk tomorrow about for CollapseNet members about continuing warnings on earnings reports, and it's all playing exactly like I thought it would and like it has to, but it's all playing out across many dimensions now, more so than just the economic dimension. We're seeing everything kind of come to a head at once. All right, now, let's talk about something positive and something cool. I got something here in my hand. It is a Yaesu, Y-A-E-S-U, submersible VX7R, 5-watt handheld ham radio. And it is it has incredible ratings. I have no relationship with this company. I'm not getting any money for this or anything. There are plenty of other good 5-watt armored waterproof ham transceivers that are available out there. Kenwood's got them. I think Panasonic's got them. There's a lot out there. The Yaesu has one of the highest ratings. And I'm just learning about this. We've been talking about ham radio here. And I got to be honest that with everything going on, I haven't had as much time to focus on it as I wanted to. But I'm getting into it. I'm studying for my ham license. You got to have a ham license to use these. But it's not difficult. You can take, you can study for a ham license test online. It costs about $20. It's a 35 question multiple choice test. And once you do that, you get a call sign. You know, W56N12, something like that. And that's who you are on ham, which means that you are now legally authorized by the FCC to have a radio that you can program across multiple bands, UHF, FM, AM, whatever, all the different bands. Legally, you can listen to law enforcement, and in emergencies, you can broadcast on frequencies that law enforcement can hear. You can have very secure, very powerful communications, but even more, when you are FCC licensed as a ham technician using these radios, you have access to repeaters, which multiplies the range of what you can do, and these radios are exceptional. And I'm still learning how to use mine. So, but fortunately, I'm also in an ARC community, if you will, lifeboats tying together, where these radios are already in abundance, and there's several people who have just taken their tests and they're learning how to use the radio. So they're bringing that information back to the rest of us. But with, among other things, cyber warfare issues becoming very, very important, right along with power outages, cyber warfare is in full swing around the world, and we will see not the Internet go out. I'm real tired of having people say, when will the Internet go down, as if there aren't components to it, like Verizon or AT&T or PG&E. Or those things are things that can be attacked by cyber war. And we have seen instances of outages occur, but as civil unrest takes over this country, which it is starting to do, as governments continue to disintegrate and become less effective and ultimately disappearing, which they will, Communications are going to be essential. And I'm sorry I didn't get into this sooner, because I really didn't fully appreciate how valuable these little things are. You still have time to get a ham license. The Yaesu radios I saw on Amazon for mid-500s. And they're really awesome, and I'm studying for my test. It's not that difficult. I'll get my license so that I can get on, and as we need to, those of us who are going to take care of each other locally can all reach each other anytime 24/7 without fear of any kind of interruption whatsoever. Don't worry about the, you know, don't raise dumb questions about, is the government going to come after you because you got a ham license or things like that. Think ahead. Communications are king. Command and control in military is king. And these radios are just amazing. All right, now I'm going to go back and try to take some more questions here. And I'm going to skip a lot of really long ones. But here's from a Dmitry Orlov clone sailboat in Alaska. I love this. I'm sure Dmitry will, too. If you're out there, hi, Dmitry. I'm going to just go to the question. What's your take on the future of sail-powered vessels on the coast of America into the future? Any further plans for your West Coast ARC Freedom Station? Well, yeah, we're doing what we're doing here in Sebastopol, and, you know, we're not sharing all that with everybody, but I'm so grateful to be in this place, to be close to a place like Willits, and in a region that's really waking up with so much activity. Sailboats give you an option. Now, of course, there are risks with everything. There's a, you know, your risk would be piracy or weather. But you're so much better off with a sailboat in that you can pick any place that you can reach with a sailboat, let's say anywhere along the Pacific coast of the Western Hemisphere, reasonably, depending upon how big the boat is. You're up in Alaska, but, you know, you could easily make it down to Columbia and look at all the choices that you have. You have options with a boat. You also have really low population density around the boat. I think boats are great if you're a sailor, you know, and if you're up for that. Okay, so request for comment. We're going to go to a message from Robert Cook. Oh, it's a long one. Oh, he's got five questions. I'm just going to pick one. I can't take them all, man. Watching the riots throughout the world, the deep-seated anger in the protesters is palpable. What truly frightens me is that they resort to rocks because they don't have guns. I don't know how much about gun laws. I don't know much about gun laws internationally, but are you aware of any countries facing violent riot situations where guns are legal? I'd like to understand where we can expect, what we can expect here at home. Well, dude, it's like illegal not to own a gun in Afghanistan and Pakistan, and Egypt maybe, a lot of places in the Middle East. I don't think that's the issue that makes a difference. When you talk about the United States, however, the last time I talked, for some years I was I've had many day jobs. I was a manager at the largest gun store in California. And I remember talking to an ATF agent one day. We used to sell to law enforcement. And he said, you know, there are 270 million firearms in this country. I don't think I need to make any more comment than that, man. You know, 270 million guns. They aren't going to be confiscated. The government doesn't know where they are. And they're going to be used. The question is how and where, and, you know, the choice that everybody has to make is whether they're willing or able to defend their own lives, and that's a choice they want to take in that direction or not. But you can expect lots of violence here, and really the way I think that violence is starting to play out, from what I watch with the increasing flash mobs, but also the targeting of cargoes, is that the gangs are going to start hijacking and charging fees or tariffs for shipments of goods and especially food. I think that's kind of inevitable. That won't be happening next week, but you can bet it's coming. We have a message, question from Bill, who writes, Mike, please describe the dominoes collapse if the U.S. defaults on its trillions of debt, and do you think China would then attack the USA because of the haircut China would take? Well, let me answer the second part first. That's a totally bad cause and effect. The Chinese economy still depends upon us, our what we're buying. But a U.S. default would be catastrophic around the world. That would mean, forget the what would sound to you like esoteric comments that the credit rating would suffer. What it means is the U.S. stops paying its obligations and defaults. And then that would trigger, you know, a global collapse, certainly. Now, I've been kind of probably thinking like all of you, that, oh, they'll work something out at the last minute. They're just playing chicken. But these people are so stupid. I don't know. I really don't know. We have till August 2nd to work out another temporary solution to the temporary solution to the permanent solution that failed. But the U.S. very well could default. It will ultimately. I said that in the dot collapse. But that would be catastrophic globally. This is the largest economy left in the world, even as fast as it's shrinking now. But China will never attack us for that. An attack presupposes there's something to gain as the result of an attack. I mean, I certainly do not rule out a nuclear contest between the U.S. and China, but that would not be the motive, Bill, not at all. Okay, so let's go back. And we've got some questions. I want to try to get through as many of these as I can. Let me check and see if we've got... Okay, we're all cool there. We have a question from Fabian. Great show. I listen every week on Lifeboat. I'm going to skip all the wonderful, nice things he says about me. On another note, this is all... Okay, this was just a very nice message to me, and rather than read that, I'm going to go back to the questions here and answer as many as I can. Here's a question from Ellen Rainwalker. Hi, Ellen. Hi, Michael. At the beginning of the show, Gary Null said he's sick of the bureaucrats telling people what they can and can't do on their own property. Now, that's great if what they want to do is something like growing a vegetable garden, but a friend of mine has been dealing with a next-door neighbor who has set up an auto body repair and auto painting shop on his property. It's noisy, it's smelly, he puts clouds of particulate matter into the air, and my friend has asthma. She's trying to get the bylaw officer to shut it down. So, okay, what's the point? So just saying people should be able to do whatever on their own property is a bit... Well, I'm not making that argument, Ellen, and all I'm saying is that anybody who tries to stop people from growing food on their own property, and I would, you know, I think it's a good and brave example to do it in your front yard to show people what food growing in the ground actually looks at, because most people can't identify it. Well, that's my only concern. If you got a question with what Gary said, you can send that to him. From Albert Morserf. Hi, Albert. I have a few questions, but folks, okay, thank you. Very nice compliment. Okay. For much longer do you think I can order seeds and other goods online within Australia and expect them to arrive? Well, hey, dude, we're all asking ourselves that question here in the States, man. Because I've seen some delays in some stuff that we've ordered showing up, but we are nearing a point where we're kind of going around that first Mad Max bend where goods and services start to flow. If you are contemplating ordering seeds, I would just not waste a minute and do it now. Order as many seeds as you can now. Get anything you can now, and I would say this to everybody across the board for any very important goods, machinery, equipment, tools, seeds, anything that you need, get it now. And I will say that, you know, if you're holding precious metals and you haven't got it, I said this about maybe 8-10 months ago, but I'll reinforce that, liquidate some of those precious metals now and get the stuff that you might not be able to get in 1, 2, 3 months. This is the time to do that. And this was a theme yesterday at the Lifeboat building session we did in Willits. When you buy something now, buy good and buy to last. Do not buy cheap. Buy everything that's a durable good now, or seeds, the best quality you can, because it may be the last one you ever get the chance to buy. He has another question. We have large natural gas reserves, and they're currently putting through the legislation for, yes, I know, fracking. No, it will not. And if it's fracking, it will kill you because it will poison your water. And natural gas will not solve it. Besides that, dude, I should tell you, mate, that the whole world is after Australia's natural gas, and your government's going to sell it for the cash. I don't think your government or any government now is smart enough to hold resources at home to protect the people. I'm telling you, there's revolution in the air. Got another one from Ellen Rainwalker. Oh, she wrote to the mayor and city council of Oak Park, Michigan, telling them just what I think of their actions. Well, God bless you, Ellen. I'm kissing you on the cheek. Thank you. That's what we like to see. We do have muscles, everybody. This movement does have clout. Even though we are invisible, if you will, to the mainstream media and the government, they cannot acknowledge our existence. The state of consciousness that we represent now is a growing tide, and we have influence, and we need to speak our voices fearlessly, especially in these scary times, because, number one, it's the honorable path of the warrior to hold true to your beliefs when things are scary and to fight the good fight. But I think we also need the shot in the arm from understanding and seeing ourselves actually have some influence out there. I've got a positive thing in my notes down here. We might get there the next 9 minutes. Here's one from Carl Klein. This is somebody's copying me on letters. Yes, go. Oh, you guys are wonderful. I love you guys. I'm getting all these emails of people who are sending their stuff out to Oak Park, probably typing away as we're doing the show. Thank you. That gives me a great shot in the arm. Here's a message from John Stone. Hey, Mike, just to let you know that you have two. Oops. I wonder if I can read this. Hold on. A lot of words in here. Yeah? Okay. Let you know that you have two ex-military intel communications workers agreeing with you. Highlight the using of Morse code. Morse code. Yeah, I think that's about right. We should all learn how to do that. Actually, Morse code was on the ham test until, I think, last year. But it never hurts to know Morse code. I remember three dots, three dashes, and three dots is SOS. In the event of complete communication loss, high frequency and Morse code will be the fallback. I'm going to put together something with more info, but we're happy you're giving serious thought to this. Yes, I am, John, very much. Keep up the work, Mike. If you need comms advice, hit us up. We are getting some help, and thank you so much. And this is the kind of networking we have to do now. It's on my list of things to do, but I can see that on CollapseNet we're going to have to pursue this a little further and start sharing information on that. There are so many things we need to do right now at CollapseNet, and we're trying to get to all of them as fast as we can. And I'm not going to be optimistic to think that we can, but we are going to give it the good fight all the way. So you've had some good advice on ham radio out there tonight. If you're a CollapseNet member, please look on the map for your local CollapseNet members around you. All you'll see is their screen name and a dot on a map, but look for anybody there who lists themselves as a ham radio tech or operator, and reach out to them, because they can teach you, and we've got some people teaching us here in West Sonoma County. But get on this. Thank you so much for that, John. We will absolutely take advantage of that and try to share as much information as we can. Now, I had in here, we had a lot to do tonight. I want to talk about some movies. We have all been, and I know me especially, but, had this grievance against the crap that's been coming out in theaters forever. And it's disconnect from reality. Well, there is a new form of art. Art is changing. As I said it would in the documentary Collapse, we're seeing new kinds of arts. And there's three brilliant examples coming. One is a movie called Anima Mundi, directed by Peter Charles Downey down in Australia. The cast includes David Holmgren, co-founder of Permaculture, John Seed, brilliant guy. He's going to be a guest on the show. He teaches deep ecology. Dr. Stephen Harding, an ecologist specializing in Gaia theory, and he is so eloquent and is the author of Animate Earth. Dr. Vandana Shiva, a human rights activist. Me, I'm in it. Noam Chomsky, Michael Reynolds is in this, but Dr. Christine James is in this. And I didn't know what this film was going to look like when I filmed my little segment. I was in Vermont at my great publisher, Chelsea Green, and hey, this guy is doing a movie and he wants you to talk about some things. And sure, no problem. Came very highly recommended. I had no idea what the end product would look like. I have watched the movie and I learned. My consciousness expanded. I saw things in different ways, and I felt so thoroughly energized and so grateful to really get a sense that there is a higher power out there. that is very friendly, that's very loving, that's not evil, that doesn't want to kill everything, that doesn't want to destroy the planet. We are part of a learning process of a living planet, and I cannot recommend this movie highly enough. I'm going to be screening it here at my place in Sebastopol for select invitees from my lifeboat about a week from now. And I'm also going to be showing at some point a great movie out of Scotland called Whiteout. I'm not going to blow that. That's a full theatrical drama. It's got a it's Oscar grade, beautifully photographed, beautifully acted. The script and the film were designed. Laurie Brewster, director, told me that it was based upon my works and writings over the years. And I was humbled. I've written a few opening words that will appear before the movie starts in the screen. You'll have to see what that is. But here's the premise of that. It's, you know, it's kind of about the collapse of human industrial civilization. I'm not going to blow the ending. But picture that it's Scotland and it's July and it's still snowing. You just have to run with that. Great movie. And there's another great one coming out of Ireland called 100 Mornings, which is a full-length theatrical great movie. I haven't seen that yet. I've asked for a screener. They said they're sending one. But if you go to the website for that movie, hold on, I'll read it to you. Let me give you the websites for all three. Whiteout is whiteoutthemovie.co.uk. Kind of hard to find. I don't think Google wants you to see this movie. Director Laurie Brewster, written by Sarah Daly. Great surgical writing. 100 Mornings, the Irish film, is www.100mornings.com. There's a great video on their website about the making of, and I guarantee if you go watch that, the making of, you will be all over wanting to see these movies, this movie. And for Anima Mundi, it's www.animamundimovie.com. We're going to try to get a lot of those people on this show as we have time. Okay, so closing out the show. It's going to be a crazy ass week next week. It's just going to be nuts. I mean, Zero Hedge, I'm watching all these entities are just going, oh, my God, next week is it, I'm just living comfortably in my prediction about what's going to happen in the month of July. The McClatchy News Service today put out a story, and I like McClatchy has cojones. They've been doing good reporting for quite a while, and I respect them. Catastrophic damage warning as Obama and lawmakers meet on debt. These idiots may actually steer us into a default. And disorderly is an understatement, but that's probably the best thing that you can say about this. A couple of other interesting news bits from the week before I get ready to leave you. This is kind of funny. Sri Lanka prays for divine help to prevent power cuts. Colombo, Sri Lanka, July 7th, news agency PTI, faced with the prospect of having to impose power cuts, the Power and Energy Ministry of Sri Lanka has sought divine help. Okay, prayer works when you pray for the right thing. In this case, they're praying that the spirit that is causing the blackouts in order to stay alive is going to help them and hurt itself. That's the wrong thing to pray for. But I think billions of people are going to be praying real soon when that's all that's left. So it's not that funny. The Ukraine this week just lost 30% of its 2011 harvest of floods, while in Africa 12 million are dying of starvation as a result of drought. Their livestock is dying too. But there is some good news. Two senators from the ethanol-producing states proposed Thursday to immediately end a tax credit for the corn-based fuel ethanol and for agreeing to support shifting some of that money to debt reductions. We will take our little blessings as they come. And speaking of little blessings, as we close the show tonight, and I get ready to see you next week with another episode of the Lifeboat Hour. I hope to have a guest next week. We'll see if we can work that out. We'll put it up on the CollapseNet website. Wilmington, Carolina, North Carolina, I guess, Christian radio station goes off the air after copper theft. This is one of those stations that supported Bush, Cheney all the way through. Go bomb those, you know, ragheads and kill all them and you know, pass the bullets, and, you know, copper thieves just stole all the copper wiring from their air conditioning. And, of course, without air conditioning, with the heat generated by a radio station, they shut down. I'd like to say a special thanks signing off tonight to Rice Farmer, who is a mainstay for us on the World News Desk at CollapseNet. He lives in Japan. He's American. He's been there forever. Steadfast, loyal guy who writes this week that the monsoons have ended in Japan and that now the heat is setting in as TEPCO has lost 15% power. And people in Tokyo are now bravely going to go to work and try to keep from suffocating to death with windows they can't open. It's a crazy world. Be grateful for what you got. I love you all. I'll see you next week on the Lifeboat Hour. Good night.